Hey, what's going on? This is your boy J Will, and we got Bishop Isaac Hamner on the set with me tonight. How you doing, Bishop?
I am well, Pastor J Will. I am well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. This podcast is used for informational purposes only and should not be considered a legal, health, tax, or professional advice of any kind. We are not responsible or liable for any losses or damages or liabilities that may arise from the use of this podcast. And I want to add in there, we are not responsible for any blessings that you're going to receive from this podcast. They all come from God.
Yes, sir.
Follow my music page at James Williams Music on Facebook. This podcast is brought to you by J. Will Music Production, LLC. For more information, hit me up at leewillthej@gmail.com or either J. Will Music Production, LLC @gmail.com. This podcast is also brought to you by Charlie's Music Factory. For your recording and consulting needs, email Mr. Chris Crane at Charlie's Music Factory. Do you have gold and silver just sitting around the house? I'm glad I asked that question. You need to contact Gold and Coin Traders LLC, located at 444 Mount Zion Road, Florence, Kentucky, 41042, or give them a call, 859-282-0917. All right, I got the Bishop with me on tonight, and him and I decided to talk about a topic that y'all probably not going to like, but it needs to be talked about. But first of all, Bishop, tell the people where you're from.
I am born and raised Cincinnati, Ohio. Always lived in the state, loved the state. There's been a lot of progression, been in the state of Ohio since the 70s. A lot of changes. My job affords me the opportunity to travel. And I was able to live short term, but was able to get a good feel of a lot of cities in the United States. And I still believe that Cincinnati stacks up as one of the best cities to live in. So with that being said, I never left.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And what's tell the people, what's the name of your church?
The name of the church is called Truth Ministries, and we're located in 30 Kentucky Avenue. We believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We believe that all testament, all words to come from the Almighty are relevant, and we believe that it has a very specific spot in your life. We don't discard any of the words, especially those that we don't understand. We simply pray and we find a way to utilize the word to adapt that to a modern living. So we don't live in the same era that the scripture was written in. So today we have to not shift the word, but we have to ensure that there is context for the 20th century that we live in versus the centuries in which the word was written. So we do everything we can to make sure that we break that down to make sure that they still align up. So you can live in the principles that were written thousands of years ago in a modern day if you line upon line, precept upon precept. That's what we focus on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So how long have you been pastoring?
I've been pastoring for 21 years. We started in 2003 and was given a charge by the organization, the House of God, which is still my parent and mother organization. The name of the temple is Truth Ministries, which is a subsidiary for the most part of the House of God. And I was born and raised in the church. So I was born into this faith. And now that I'm older, I am able to examine other faiths. And this faith that I was born in still stacks up to be the closest to what I seen Moses walk, according to what I wrote in red, and what Yahshua walked, Jesus Christ. This faith by far is the closest that I seen the walk of both Old and New Testament teachers and preachers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I wanted to bring all that up because I want the listeners to understand the qualification that you have. You are a bishop, and you've been pastoring for 21 years. And, yes, you know, as a result of that, you've had plenty of time to study the scripture. You're an astute student of the word of God. And I think this conversation is very relevant. And for those of you that don't know what we're going to be talking about tonight, we're going to be talking about you cheated. And there's multiple ways or multiple categories we can put cheaters in. But I actually looked up the English definition of a cheater, and it's a person who acts dishonestly in order to gain an advantage. In the Hebrew, it's Ramah, and which means deception. So when you look at the essence of cheating, it always involves dishonesty, whether you're cheating in a card game, you're cheating in a basketball game. But this specific topic we're talking about is between a husband and a wife, people cheating on each other. You have anything to contribute with that, Bishop?
Well, so since we're putting it in the arena of the husband and wife, cheater or someone who is deceptive, the other word we'll add is infidelity. And
yes, sir.
Someone who practices infidelity is the action or state of being unfaithful to their spouse, be it same-sex spouses or be it spouses that are male and female. So it just depends. But infidelity is a state of action of being unfaithful to your spouse or other sexual partner. So both someone who is deceptive or someone who is unfaithful to a vow, practicing infidelity or cheating, both we're going to lump in the same, I lump in the same family.
Yeah.
That you don't want.
Right. It's a part of your character that you don't want. But just as a disclosure, we're not advocating, at least I'm not, I can speak for myself, I'm not advocating for same-sex marriage or same-sex relationships.
Why not?
Because I believe in the Bible. Now, if a man got a husband, that's between you and God. I'm not endorsing that. But for the sake of argument, we got to talk to both parties because we got both things happening. We got, you know, people cheating on each other, whether they're homosexual, lesbian, or married couple.
And that's what we want to identify. We want to identify no matter what relationship, no matter what your status is, be it male or male, female or female, male or female, as long as it's not adult and a child, we're going to give you the information that you need to make sure that the union is strong. I don't believe in male and male and female and female. I believe that it is a permissive state by the United States of America, and the judges stand by it. I do believe sincerely in my heart, and I can show you in scriptures, where the Almighty has already condemned and judged that union of male and male and female and female. Now, the Almighty has allowed man to rule. So on earth, we have to, again, the scriptures, when they were written, male and male, female and female, was not a major issue. But we're not living in that day. So yeah. That's why it's so important to be able to cover all aspects. So while we are in the United States of America under that flag, a male on male is a sanctioned marriage by the state. Now, the Almighty, according to the scriptures, is clear. He has condemned that union. But if someone wants to enter into it and take that before the Almighty in judgment, I am not here to discourage that. I'm just here to provide you with information, and you will be able to decide on your own.
Right. So I was looking at a scripture that you had, Genesis chapter 2, verse 24.
That's one of those scriptures that the Almighty is going to use to ask you that question for that male and male and female and female. That's a
Yeah. Let me read that scripture. And those of you, if y'all want to follow along with us, I recommend that you pull out your Bible app on your phone, or pull out your hardback or your softback Bible and follow some of these scriptures with us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Therefore shall man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
All right, so let's go back.
Go ahead.
So let's go back to that original dialogue that we had, because I love that you have a very strong position. So I want to help everyone with their position. And your position is you are a God-fearing man, and you are strongly believing that it is male and female. I, too, believe that. But I want to interject the significance of male and male, because, again, it's important to teach a doctrine in the era that you live. So this scripture in judgment, when you are male and male and you are standing before the Almighty God, or female and female, the father's going to say, I actually made male and female. Now, there is a scripture in New Testament writings that says, let God be true and every other man a lie. Get that for me. Let God be true and every other man be a lie. So when we put those two scriptures together, we're able to line upon line, precept upon precept, that Genesis says, male and female, I have put you two together. So the male and male that I discussed earlier, I'm not judging you. And if that's what you want to do, you do. Female on female, I'm not judging you. If that's what you want to do, you do. But my scripture teach me that let God be true and every other man a lie. So this information, again, it's going to help everybody. And that is found in Romans, the third chapter and verse 4. Let God be true and let every other man be a lie. So when you put those two together, that's what we described earlier, line upon line, precept upon precept. So we just went back to when the text was written before modern time and brought it up to modern time with the same script.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, I don't bash anybody.
Exactly.
People have a right to choose
what they
want to do.
Exactly. But
as far as, you know, biblical principles, I mean, even in the New Testament, you know, people say, well, that was a Levitical law. Well, yeah, but if you look in the New Testament, it gave a list of people that would not inherit the kingdom of God. Liars, drunkards, blasphemers, effeminates, you know, those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. So whatever category you're in, sin is sin, but this is one of those sins where it's like in your face and they want people, you know, to agree with something that's unbiblical in that sense. And that's where I stand with it. Whatever you do is your business.
From your initial definition of cheaters, it was being dishonest.
It is.
So I believe that there are a lot of people out there who are being dishonest by saying that God accepts or permitted. I think they're cheating because, as you stated, it in Romans 3 and 4, it says, let God be true and every other man a lie. In Revelations 21, it says, those who are going to enter into the city have a criteria. In Romans 1st chapter says, he gave some over to a reprobate mind so that they would do which was unseemly in the eyes of God. So according to the scriptures, again, it's not just that it was written in a time that was not modern. Even when you look at the scriptures in the modern time, male and female, cleave. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And then again, scriptures are clear. Romans, let God be true, every other man a lie. You've already said in the book of Revelation 21 chapter, dogs, whoremongers, effeminates won't inherit the kingdom of God. Romans 1st chapter is very clear that the Almighty gave them over to the reprobate because they failed to retain the Almighty in their knowledge. So it's concluded, but I want the male on male and female on female to know that there is still a space for them because everybody has an opportunity to shift. If you shift it into it, you can potentially shift out of it.
Yes, sir. And that, you know, that scripture that I brought up about effeminate is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, know ye that the unrighteous.
That's right.
And if you're a cheater, you ain't righteous.
That's true.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And so the Bible is specific. If you're cheating, if you're being dishonest, it's not good. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Cannot. And a lot of people are cheating themselves. But I want them to know that there is a space for them in the body of Christ until such a time as they change. The one thing we cannot do with any lifestyle is say that one sin is greater than the other. I don't believe in that practice and that terminology. I do believe that there is a sin that can be committed that is exempt from forgiveness, and that is only blaspheming against the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Other than that, every sin is on the same plateau. All sin is a transgression of the Almighty God, no matter who it is. But some people make a living out of bashing people who are more obvious. And a cheater might not be as obvious, so they don't get bashed as much. But right. those things that people see, they really want to highlight. But I want you to know that people who highlight those male and female are actually fall into the same category that Paul taught us in the book of Corinthians. If you teach another man to steal, do you steal? So those people who say that they are against it are actually right in the middle of it.
Right.
I don't know how to call out no names, but I know several names who teach against it, but are very headlong in it.
Yeah, we're going to pray for those.
We're going to pray for them.
So a couple more definitions that we talked about was monogamy.
Yes.
A relationship with only one partner at a time.
I like it.
And yeah. Well, I tell you, I can barely handle the one woman I got. I don't need two or three.
Amen. And the Almighty allowed me to raise three superstar females.
Yeah.
But ain't nowhere in the world. I had a house of four women. So there is no, I never understood it. Maybe because of firsthand experience, there is no way in the world. Four women in one house, and I was always wrong. It wasn't until very deep into my marriage that the Almighty gave me a son. And he just now getting his footing. And then the Almighty gave me two sons, but we still outnumbered 4-3.
Yeah, man.
Don't win no vote.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep hearing my prayers over there.
I appreciate that. Yeah. So that relationship with one partner at a time, that's important because the scriptures is clear in the book of Genesis, or life is clear, and we'll deal with it a little later in regard to AIDS. So it's important to keep a relationship within the confines of the partner that you identified as your partner. I think one of the reasons why people leads people to infidelity or cheating is the fact that they allow somebody else to pick their partner. Stop allowing somebody else to pick your partner and you choose yourself. Get away from this arranged marriage because arranged marriages often will not work, or arranged partnerships will not work. You have to decide. So you have to know the partner who you link up with. Do they accept monogamy as a concept that they embrace? That's important because there are other relationship types.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that the polyfidelity or polygamy.
Polygamy.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's more of a Utah thing.
No, that's not fair. But you're right. It is in Utah. They just openly tell it.
Yeah.
What about that cheater who's quiet but believe in it?
You know, I haven't talked to many of them.
Oh no! Anybody that practiced infidelity.
Oh
that's exactly where it's coming from. See,
exactly where it's coming from.
That's the root.
And then you have polyamory.
That's it.
The relationship that can exist in both the heterosexual and gay communities. And then you have asexual, a person that who does not experience sexual attraction towards an individual of any gender. And you know, they're out there.
So, and before you choose your partner, you need to know what category do they consider themselves? That's a fair question to ask.
So I was looking at these, some statistics by, Cooper Trachtenberg Law Group, LLC.
Mm-hmm.
And this is some 2024 statistics. It said, despite changing gender norms, men are still more likely to cheat than women. According to recent data gathered from the General Society Survey, 20% of married men and 13% of married women admitted to having sex with someone other than their spouse. I mean, maybe I'm just naive, but I didn't think the number should be that high.
Well, it's high because it's not talked about.
It's
not talked about. And when I say it's not talked about, we're talking about before you choose a partner. Before you choose a partner, the counseling that every individual should receive is that, especially in America, marriages, especially in the Christian church, are at 50% or greater. And that 50% or greater is not all infidelity, but a good portion of that 50% or greater that's going to end in divorce is because of infidelity. So one is leading to the other, is actually feeding the other. So what's feeding our divorce rate is our infidelity rate.
Huh. So yeah, I'm going to shoot this other statistic out there, and then I'm going to ask you a question. But it says infidelity rates among women are on the rise, having increased by 40% in the past 20. Man, is there any good women left out there, Bishop?
Oh, no. Well, yes, yes. A lot of those women, though, are retaliatory cheaters. So, they're feeding in, too. So when you dig into that number that you just gave of 40% of the women who cheat, they are cheating out of retaliation because somebody cheated on them. So just like infidelity feeds into the divorce rate, the high infidelity rate for women is led primarily or fed by primarily them calling it revenge cheating.
This is going to sound pretty funny, but they need to read the Bible because we're not supposed to render evil for evil.
That's what the scripture says. We don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. So when we begin to peel back these layers one by one, we're seeing that one feeds into another. Infidelity feeds into the divorce rate. And when you practice infidelity as a man, then it feeds into women wanting to do it more. So why, overall, peeling back these layers, why do people cheat? Well, I believe it is a gene within them that actually brings it out. And to give a quick example, Joseph did not have that gene of infidelity. And he was presented, to me, the best opportunity ever, which is the king's wife. You know she's going to keep her mouth shut. She also has skin in the game. If she tells, it's off with her head as well. But Joseph said no. And then we look at another in that very lineage, and that's David. David, on the other hand, he took the bait. And all Bathsheba did was take a bath. So really, some people are more susceptible because of a gene or trait that lies within them. Some people are created after the genome of Joseph, and then some are created after the genome of David. Everyone's drive is different. But again, before you get married, ask the question to your partner, what gene do you have? Say, do you have Joseph genes or do you have David genes?
You know, 23 of the chromosomes come from the father and 23 from the mother, which makes up 46 chromosomes that child has. And with the way the statistics are running right now, you don't know which side that gene is coming from. And all I can offer to people is that you be born again so you can get a new DNA.
So Paul said, know ye not that you are the temple of God and you are a new creature. So until you become that new creature, you will fall into one of those categories of those genomes. It is very important to become a new creature in Christ because the Holy Spirit is able to wrap that genome, isolate it, and remove it far from you, even as far as the East is from the West. But again, until you have those open discussions with this presumed partner, you won't even know. So let's go back to that statement that you said about 23 on the male, 23 on the female. So with that being the case, the partner who might be your potential partner, did you even engage them in the question, has everyone in your family been faithful? Because the scripture says that according to the book of Exodus, that visiting the iniquities upon the fathers unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, but showing mercy to the point of your Holy Spirit to thousands of them that love me and actually listen to me. So it is quite possible that you are yoking yourself with someone, and I'm not saying that they have a generational curse. I'm saying they literally have a gene that if the Holy Spirit does not wrap itself around and it gets loose, it's going to cause a whole lot of havoc.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. are some individuals more susceptible to infidelity than others?
Yes, without question. And they, it's not as simple as a gene. Some people are more susceptible because of low self-esteem. They are more susceptible because they have a low relationship value within themselves. So if, and we want to talk about this in the scriptures, which is why the scriptures makes it very plain. The people who are more susceptible are going to be those individuals who do suffer from low self-esteem or satisfaction issues. Matthew says that whosoever puts away their wife, saving fornication, causes her to commit adultery. What we pull out of there is the word cause. You can cause somebody to commit adultery, or you can cause them to fall into infidelity. Corinthians 7:5 says, defraud ye not one another, except to be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not. So there's two points that we want to pull out there. Matthew 5:32, 1 Corinthians 7:5. And the reason why we're pulling this out is that, well, why are people more susceptible? If you have a spouse that uses sex as a bargaining tool or use it as an extortionary means, and you have low self-esteem, and you have the gene because you cut from David cloth and not Joseph, it's pretty much a wrap.
So, yeah, and I'll say that if a spouse is extorting or using sex as a tool in that regards, it's prostitution.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, you're exchanging money and gifts for sex, and if you don't do this, you ain't getting none. And if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm cutting you off. Those types of attitudes should not be in a healthy and fruitful relationship.
Well, that's why Matthew is so important when it talks about causes your partner to commit fornication. The cause is directly linked. Now, every individual has to be held accountable. Scripture says every believer must learn how to control and possess their vessel in the sanctity and honor in which they were called. So I am not excusing the individual committing the infidelity. We need to start asking ourselves, what are we doing to help prevent them from falling into infidelity? And I don't know that we deal with that aspect enough. Again, it's easier and it's funner for some to beat up on things that are obvious, like the homosexual or the person who commits this infidelity. But is anyone willing to pull the layers back and ask, why did they commit this against this person? So I don't want to paint this in too broad of a brush, but there are a lot of good women who satisfy their husbands anytime they want it, but it still ain't enough, and they got to go out and get more. So that's the type of person who we want to reach. We want to let them know that it's not the sex, because you're getting it from your spouse. It's not the sex. And this is why I've been very successful in the 32 years that I've been married. I know that there is no woman that's going to do anything differently for me than my wife would ever be able to do. A woman only possesses one ability when it comes to sex and her body part. And this woman, I don't care what she can't do anything differently. I can't do anything differently than receive a climax. So this person, for whatever reason, isn't just looking for the satisfaction out of what the interaction of intercourse is. They are looking for something else. That's why it's so important to peel it back. Low self-esteem. They have other issues within themselves that are going to be some psychological. They're going to have issues with masculinity and what it means to be masculine. They're going to have issues with what does it mean to be dominant? What does it mean to be in control? Not at the core, but one of the building blocks for sex is going to be power, which is why men want to be on top more than anything else. That it is a control. It is a dominance. Well, that needs to be dealt with to help them to prevent infidelity. Because again, they already got it from their spouse.
Yeah.
Got it before they went to work, set up another one at 2 o'clock, different. There's something there because it's not just climax and it's not just power because you got it. You're dealing with something else. And I'm saying it's deeper than just a conversation. This is a gene that needs not only isolation through the power of the Holy Spirit. In addition to that, they're going to need some counseling.
Yeah. So you know, I want to raise you one and say it's probably easier for somebody to cheat if they don't have a committed relationship with God.
Oh, that's 100%. I agree.
You know, because, you know, we are the bride of God.
That's correct.
But if we don't know how to treat God, then we don't know how to treat the next person.
I'm in agreement. But to be fair to the person who has a commitment and still cheated, that's still David's category. I don't know that we're going to find anyone more committed than David.
Yeah.
He was considered the apple of his eye. He was considered the apple of God's eye. And the scripture says to David, anything you would have asked me for, I would have gave it to you. So not just David, who's the apple of God's eye. So let's look at David's son, Solomon. So it wasn't the fact that Solomon left God because of what me and you are talking about, cheating or infidelity in regard to a separate woman. It was the 400 women. And they caused him. And it wasn't even, so his infidelity wasn't with the woman. It was what you started discussion off with, being dishonest and cheating. He cheated the Almighty. And you can't get much wiser than Solomon. But these 400 women, Solomon was simply looking for something else. These 400 women that he was trying to please in order to please him, he built groves to idol God. Back to cheating. He too cheated. So the one that was the apple of God's eye, he cheated. Solomon, the wisest man in the world, he cheated. Not just the woman's fault, not even trying to sort of frame it in the woman's fault. There are deeper issues that need to be resolved with men who walk with God. If you have this gene, get it isolated, deal with it, talk about it, and then make sure you're always on guard. That's why the scripture says, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. So we want to equip people. If this is you, it's not the sex. You're dealing with something else that needs identifying and isolated. And if it's identified and properly isolated, that won't be your problem.
So you brought up something very interesting. You said that David, the Bible says that David was the apple of God's eye.
Correct.
But his mistake wasn't really a mistake. It was more premeditated and then a cover up. Cause he got her pregnant. Then he had her husband sent out to war so he'd get killed. So the plot kept thickening and thickening. So
he,
I guess,
the got a naked woman bathing.
Yeah. I get that, but
don't uncover your sister's nakedness.
Yeah. That's a Levitical law. I get that. But what I'm asking is, is it possible, or let me rephrase this question. How can a man of God that's making a mistake not fall back into the same mistake? Because if David was the apple of God's eye and he made this mistake, which was a premeditated deal here.
Correct.
How do you repair that relationship? I know you repent. But there's some backlash that has to go with that stuff. There's some residual effects of the whole infidelity thing that happens.
So remember what we said. You got to find the gene and isolate it. So how does a man of God get back? David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Yeah.
David said, purge me with what?
With hyssop.
Then what else did he ask for? Clean me that I might become whiter than snow. So he did what I was suggesting that these men who are in the church do, identify it and isolate it. And he said, take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. So he identified it, he isolated it, and to the discussion that me and you having, he never had that problem again. Because he identified it was in him. He isolated what was in him. And then he asked the Almighty to remove it. And the Almighty did it. And David never had that issue again.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, homies and homettes, if you found yourself in this situation, you need to do the, you need to do people, places, and things. Change the people you're hanging with. Change the places you go. And change the things that you do so that you can stay away from what got you in trouble to begin with. And to the bishop's point, you got to ask God for forgiveness. That purging you and washing you over again with the blood and making you white as snow and asking God not to remove his spirit from you, it's going to help you, because I'm telling you, while you're doing all this crazy stuff, God ain't in the middle of that.
No, that's not. So, no, God's not in the middle, but God's still with you. That's why David said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. People have to be willing to come forward. The reason why there are so many cheaters is because people don't come forward, and they think that somehow they're going to be perceived less than. I'm not going to less than anybody because they could not overcome, but the Almighty gave me the ability to overcome. So, to continue this, there is a dopamine D4 receptor gene. It's called DR4. Look that up. It's a dopamine D4 receptor gene, DRD4. People with the D4 gene are 50% more likely to cheat and to report sexual infidelity. When you get a chance, look that up. Dr. Bentley is the one who discovered that research, that the D4 receptor, DRD4, dopamine D4, that gene, if you have it, you're going to be 50% more likely. And then Proverbs says, anyone that commits adultery or infidelity lacketh understanding. That's what I'm pointing out about that person. They don't know what's in them.
Yeah.
And if you don't talk about it and we can't find a way to pull it out, the only way to pull out any honest information for anyone, Mr. J. Will, Pastor J. Will, my beloved, is to have a safe space.
Yeah.
People need a safe space. If you want the truth, you got to give people a safe space. And once they have a safe space, a judgment-free zone, and then you peel back those layers and they are able to be honest, and then they are not belittled, but they are lifted up, you can identify that problem, isolate that problem through the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. You are able to have it removed from you. But since you know about it, anytime it rise up, you kill it back down. You say, well, how can I kill something that I believe is already killed? No, you didn't kill it. You only killed it for that moment. The scripture says we die daily.
Yeah.
So every day you got to wake up with a mind to be willing to slay that gene DRD4 that is within you, causing you to do something that you didn't even understand that was there. So David had it. Joseph did not have it. David actually wrote the book on how to get out of it. Solomon, not so much. Them 400 women told him.
Hey, that was a busy brother.
I don't know. That was before Viagra, Cialis, and all. I don't know how he did it. It ain't enough pomegranate in Israel to handle all of them. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know what he was thinking. I know what he was thinking, but that was that. See, again, Almighty allowed me to have 3 daughters and 1 wife, and ain't no way in the world.
Yeah, in a way. So let me ask a question.
All happy, please.
It's really tough, especially for men, to find a safe space to talk about this stuff. And this this is it right here. I mean, me and you. I mean, you know, that's a safe space between you and I. But those people that don't have access to people who don't have to people who can't keep their mouth closed long enough to hold what somebody, because some people are in dire straits here. They need some significant guidance.
Yes. Well, We're here for them at 30 Kentucky Avenue, Truth Ministries 30 at gmail.com. Reach out to us, and we have counselors on standby who are willing and able to help you with this issue in supreme confidence, not telling anyone, even to the cloak of once you disclose information to someone in the clergy, it's actually protected by the Constitution. Right. And it never has to be disclosed again. Once you disclose it in a private setting and in a counseling setting. So we want to be here for those men, because until we give them a safe space, teach them how to identify this gene that is within them, teach them how to ask for help, we're going to continue to have divorce rates that are high, 50% or better, and we're still going to have 40% of women cheating, and the bulk of that number, again, is being fed by revenge cheating. So if we can help the man, I believe we can help the women. And if we help the men to help the women, we are automatically helping the family.
So I know a couple of people who've invited me to some men's groups to talk about men issues, and I chose not to go. Because if I'm going to talk about men issues, I want to talk about men issues, and I'm not being sacrilegious or anything like that. But if I'm going because I'm hurting in the area and I need to talk to somebody, I don't want to spend 40, 50 minutes in prayer and speaking in tongues, and then everybody too tired to talk about what the issue is, and then we just leave, you know? So, you know, are there play? I know that, you know, there's a way to give biblical advice to somebody that's hurting, but I don't think that a men's meeting, and this is my own opinion, a men's meeting so where men can open up and talk about their problems, we should spend an hour praying, and now everybody's fatigued and ready to go eat. No, you talked about nothing.
No, you can't do that. But there's more than one method out there. So
yeah,
I agree with you. I would use a method that is similar to Alcohol Anonymous, where they don't have a long lecture. They get right into the meat. Welcome, everybody. We got a new member. Everybody clap. How long have you been sober? I've been sober this long. I had a setback. It's okay. We all have setbacks. Get back up again. So you need a setting that's going to allow communication, but you also need confidence in that setting that what's going to be said is going to be kept and not used against them. And if someone is suffering from infidelity and they hear this, do not tell your spouse first. Receive counseling first. Get it cleaned up. Get it well behind you in whatever you was in. Get the counseling. Get it well behind you. Be prepared to be kicked out. Once you follow that, then go to your spouse. Don't just do it and go to your spouse and have no counseling and no plan. Scripture says, without a plan, the people perish. That's even with infidelity. That's why so many couples are ripped apart, because the spouse commits infidelity, don't know where to go, don't have a plan on how to disclose it, and causes a shipwreck. So without a plan, it don't matter what it is, people are going to perish. Which means you're not going to be successful.
So I was, you know, full disclosure here. I got caught up in a situation, okay, many, many, many years ago. It ain't been recently, people. I'm still holy. Many, many years ago.
Aren't you glad I said people who get caught up are still men of God?
That's right. Because I'd be going to hell in the handbasket right about now. See,
I didn't strip you before you about to disclose what you're going to disclose.
Right. But, you know, I'm only saying this because it's important for you to find the correct counselor. Yes. So I went to this counselor, me and my ex-wife, and I was quiet. I wasn't saying nothing. And then they kept wearing me down and wearing me down. And then when I opened up, it was bad. The counselor talked about our session with their spouse and their daughter. And the daughter was friends with my kids.
Okay, that, so
you got to find the right counselor.
I already told you. Do you see why you got to have a plan in place?
You got to have a plan.
Do you say, boy, I bet you this podcast would have helped you even back then.
Yeah.
So Proverbs 11:14 brings something to mind. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselor, there is safety. That's why it's so important to be in a safe space. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fail. That's why without a plan, the people perish. But in a multitude of counselors. So it wasn't the infidelity that potentially sank that. There were other issues. You've already said that the Almighty uprighted you. Once you fix those issues, whatever they were, and you identified them, you isolated them, you took that DR D4 gene that you found out that you had, you isolated it with the blood of Jesus, you received your counseling. Now that you are a better person, but you are a better person because you followed this blueprint, which is you got to identify it, fix that issue, and then move on. And my encouragement to everybody is that if you get caught up in something, make sure that you got a plan in place on how you're going to unveil this. And the counseling, to the point of Pastor Jay Will, you have to find counsel who's going to keep the information confidential.
Right.
Confidential does not simply mean I'm not going to tell nobody. Confidential under penalty of perjury. Confidential to the point where I can have information about a murder. And if they are, if I am told in confidence, in counsel, I don't have to disclose. Even in the court of law, I can simply plead the fifth. So you need somebody that understands what it means to hold information in confidence and never to disclose and never to have potential. I'm telling you, see, what you're telling me is so enlightening because we didn't talk about it. I keep people always like that low-hanging fruit, but they don't get to the root. They just call people evil. No, people aren't evil. There's a reason why behavior unfolds the way it unfolds. And there is a reason why lives are destroyed. It's how we handle the situation. It's the counsel involved. It's fixing the under-rooted problems that are within people. And I'm telling you, where there is no counsel, people aren't going to do good. But for people to have a safe space is vitally important for, to me, for their growth and for their overcoming.
Yeah, it's just so important to me that people find the correct counselor.
Yes.
Because you get hooked up with the wrong joker and they doing the same thing you've been doing and trying to give you advice about not doing what they doing.
Paul said, if you teach another man to steal, do you steal?
Man, you know, how can the blind lead the blind?
They both are going to fall into the ditch according to the scriptures.
That's so, according to the scripture.
Can a zebra change their stripes? I'm saying with the Holy Ghost, yes. When you become a new creature, yes. When you receive counseling, yes. Once you be like David, against thee and thee only have I sinned, which means you got to admit that somebody didn't drive me to my wrong. I did wrong. I'm trying to prevent the wrong from someone being driven to it by letting the world know, or those who listen to this podcast, rather, let me be a little more modest. Those who listen to this podcast, that you can call somebody. We didn't deal with that with you and your issue, but I would imagine that it wasn't that you were just caught up in infidelity, but you fell into the category that we talked about, cause because of something else that went wrong, not just jumped up and said, that look exciting. Most people don't do that.
Yeah.
Not most cheaters. Most cheaters don't wake up and say, this is my day to get out there and smash. It is a cause and effect. And it is important for both spouses to understand that. Important to understand what gene you have. Important to understand the other relationships that you had before now. Were you faithful? So all of those play a vital role going forward.
Now, I want to divert just a little bit. In the 90s, we had the AIDS epidemic.
Yes.
That hit Africa. And then it spread over to the United States. And we've been dealing with, you know, now they got the vibrato for PrEP and all this stuff.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? They got all this stuff and, you know, passing out condoms everywhere and all this good stuff. And, you know, I guess that's a good stride at trying to reduce the amount of HIV people that there are in the world because of sexual, you know, misconduct and stuff like that, promiscuity. But what do you say to the people who just don't care?
So that's the issue. If you don't care, it's the job of a preacher or a teacher or a loved one to reach you. Everyone should have someone who can reach them. And yeah. What we don't talk about enough, especially in the church, we've already identified several things. We don't talk about the fact that there's a gene involved and it needs to be isolated. We don't talk about the importance of when you disclose it, you need to disclose it by yourself and receive counseling. Find out what actually caused you to commit the infidelity. And if somebody else did, before you tell them, you were terrible, you made me do this. No, that's not how that works. You isolate it, you find out, you have a plan, then you disclose it. What we don't talk about enough is the fact that AIDS is in part a sexually transmitted disease unless it's through the use of drug needles or through a blood infusion. So the sexually transmitted disease aspect of it, that's what you are now potentially bringing back to your family. And the reason why the epidemic was so bad in Africa was because they did not have the information that we're talking about now, which is monogamy. Mm-hmm. One person. So when the scriptures teaches a man shall leave mother and father and cleave to his wife, they're not just, scriptures is not just encouraging us to stay together. Paul taught, defraud not one another, come together quickly, lest the adversary tempt you for your inconsistency. The scriptures and that teaching is trying to prevent a disease from coming into the family so a partner who was innocent could be yoked with a partner who committed it, had an act of infidelity, and then bring that back to the partner who was innocent and then transfer that. The church needs to talk about that more.
Yeah.
That you bring something home that's not a goldfish. You bring something home that's not a puppy, but you bring something home that's going to stay with you a lot longer, which is going to make it even harder to try to repair that marriage.
Yeah, it just doesn't make it any easier, especially, you know, with the direction that we're headed in now, I can't say headed in, that we're in now.
We're there.
You don't know if you actually have a female. I'm talking to you gentlemen out there. If you got a female or you got a dude, you know what I'm saying?
Because hey, right.
I got to be honest with you. Now, you know, I was, you know, I'm not blind. Mm-hmm. I'm walking someplace the other day in America, and I see this woman with this long hair, and I mean, they were strutting their stuff, man.
Right, right.
And I was saying to myself, man, she sure strutting her stuff.
Right.
And then me and another gentleman were talking, and this particular female was going to ask for directions.
Wow.
And she turned around, she says, do you know where the fifth floor is? she asked something on the fifth floor. And him and I looked at each other, and I said, bro, I'm glad I ain't in the game no more, son.
I got that right.
Because, you know, not only do we have, you know, to worry about your spouse cheating, you know, and the AIDS and venereal diseases, but now you got to make sure that the fruit that you picking is actually a fruit.
Oh, that's a fact. That's a fact.
You know,
which is why you don't want to go out of there. You know what you got at home. You know exactly what that is. The question is, how do we repair what we have at home so we don't have a desire to go get something else? So with that being said, there are clues that you can look for if your spouse is potentially, if you want to find out if your spouse is potentially covering up, some of the things you can do to find this out is check their social media accounts and look at their phone. My wife already knows she has 100% autonomy to open all my mail, look at my phone, look at my messages. I told her, any number on my phone, call it back.
Right.
So you have to be willing to be an open book. But if you want to find clues, if someone is guarding information that as a spouse, you have a right to have access to, that could be a clue that something is going wrong. There are other clues out there. Maybe you don't talk about your future as much together anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe the conversations don't flow the same anymore. Maybe there's an extra degree of animus in the conversations. They're always getting mad just so they can leave the room or go somewhere else. And I'm not saying if this occurs that someone is cheating. I am saying these are underlying clues to let you know you need to have some heart-on-heart discussions. It's not necessarily time for counseling, but it is time to talk. But if they don't want to sit and talk, you don't have to bring up infidelity. You can say, can't we have a quiet meal together? Can't we talk in a way that is not only accommodating, but that is encouraging one another? So you got to look for those signs. Are they changing their appearance? Why are they changing their appearance? Are they leaving the room when they get a particular phone call and their voice change? Were they arguing with you, get a phone call and start smiling? So all of those are clues that you might need to have conversations with them. And again, you might not need counseling yet. You got to start off a conversation before you have counseling because, and what did you do that might cause them to, for you to exploit a gene that is already in them that needs to be identified and helped out? So look for clues that they are not covering up.
You know, I will say that effective communication is the basic fundamental building block of any relationship. If you can't communicate and have an adult conversation with the other adult in the room, y'all might not need to be together anyway.
That's true, too.
I mean, you know, some people are just not compatible. They can't talk with each other. It's always hostility.
That's not good.
No, it's not good. So effective communication.
And that's very good. And then you got to ask yourself, when you got married, did you go from a size 6 to a size 16? Well, if you I married you at 6. You ended up at 16, you know, why is it that you enjoy food more than me? You're going to have to find a way.
I am not touching that one. I'm not touching that one.
I'm just letting you know there's other issues there that need some resolving. And you want, so there are so many emotional to being in the human condition. And I'm not saying it's a spouse's job to do everything, but it is a spouse's job to be able to take clues that are pretty obvious that you want to work on together. And you don't want to do triggering things, but you want to work on together.
I can say, though, that if it's a size issue, if she was a size 6, she went to size 16 to 18, maybe you need to take a ham sandwich in there when you try and talk to her.
That's 100%. I agree with that.
I'm just playing, y'all. Don't send me no hate mail.
That's love language. If they love language is a salami sandwich, get them what they need. Double scoop of ice cream with cherries on top. Get them what they need. You're trying to get them to talk. So I give you a bite every time you talk to me. And then feed some Weight Watchers. Give them Weight Watchers ice cream. Don't tell them. Just feed it to them.
You know, it is.
The other people, lives impacted, children, family, the other spouse. So many people are impacted. So infidelity doesn't just hurt the person. It hurts everybody connected to that person. And you want to just understand that in an infidelity type of situation, the man, we don't talk about that enough, that the scripture says there is no manner of gifts that's going to satisfy this man if he catch you with his spouse.
Yeah. It's going to be a bad day.
Bad day for you.
Bernie Mac said there's going to be some furniture moving.
It's going to be a little bit of furniture moving. And it's not worth it. When you can potentially get this isolated, you can get it fixed. You can get it identified. You can receive help. You can receive counseling. You can develop a plan. And you can come out. And as Pastor Jay will say, with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the blood of Jesus giving us forgiveness, with Paul teaching us that We are the temples of the living God. We can become a new creature. We can do better. But you're going to need a safe space where this person can talk to someone and that information not get out, made public.
Now, there are a couple of triggers that inflate bad relationships. One of them is your friends start to influence you more.
Oh, that's a fact.
And you start hanging out with the fellas a little bit more than you hang out with your wife. Or your spending habits change.
Oh,
you're spending way too. People that are in a financially strapped get into some pretty bad stuff.
That is correct. Again, anytime you're overspending, you're overcompensating for something. And counseling and conversation helps you understand. Now, the scriptures teaches temperance, but everybody don't have it. And I understand that. I walk in it. But if I see something that is not temperate, I tell my I've told people that I've seen you eat this same thing that's supposed to be slim fitting. But I don't know that you're getting any results from that. So it's but it's a polite way of saying that whatever you do, you want to get results from it. And if you're not getting results, you got to be willing to shift. So if there are triggers out there with spending, if you know you're listening more to your girlfriends or your guy friends more than you are your spouse, something is wrong. Especially if you're listening to your in-laws. Your in-laws should not be influencing your relationship because it's your relationship. It is your job to build your relationship on the foundation of you and your spouse. And if it's not, that causes and leads to infidelity. All of these play vital roles in causing someone to commit adultery. Spending habits, eating habits, listening to the wrong friends. All of those are contributing factors.
Yeah, I made a conscientious effort years ago that I don't have any single friends. You know, I have all of my friends either have girlfriends, fiancés, or wives.
I like it.
I don't hang with single dudes because we don't want the same thing.
I agree.
And before you know it, you can get sucked into some type of environment that you have no reason to be in. So I don't hang around those types of people.
No, you got to lead a presence of a fool. You always have to lead a presence of a fool because there's no good for you there. That's what Proverbs 14 and 7 teaches, that you leave them because there's nothing good there. I agree with you, and I shared that in my 32 years of success in a marriage with no infidelity on either side. But, you know, she wouldn't let nobody touch my. She's a germaphobe, so can't no man get near her anyway. So my heart goes out to anybody who's trying to touch this woman, and she don't know if you sanitize. So I ain't got to worry about it. Most men are germs, and if she got a nose out of nobody's business world, anything smelling funny, she out. So she's been very successful at keeping her body under subjected in the sanctity in which God has called her. The Almighty has allowed me through the power of the Holy Spirit to keep my body under subjection in the sanctity in which God has called. So it's everybody has to do their part. If you do your part and they do their part and you keep lines of communication open, you'll have a better opportunity. And as we talked about, don't listen to these girlfriends. The reason why they don't have a man is the reason why they don't have a man. And you taking up somebody who don't have a man, I don't know how that's going to work out for you. I can tell you right now, it's the reason why she's single.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a reason why he's single, too. I want to point that out, too.
That's a reason why he's single. Well, he should stay single because he ain't worth picking out. And there's nothing wrong with people waiting for the right person. And waiting could be a long time. I mean, I would wait as long as it takes so that I'm not dealing with the topic of discussion, which is you cheaters.
Yeah, exactly. And so, ladies and gentlemen, my final words, well, we'll let Bishop have the final words and we're going to get out of here. I hope y'all have learned something and we've been able to share some things with you. But go ahead, Bishop.
Well, I want to encourage everyone to get into a safe space, get into a space where you are willing to receive, allow yourself to get into a space where you are willing to identify. And allow yourself to get into a space where you can receive correction. You can receive healing. Some people do not heal properly. If you do not successfully heal properly, you're going to carry a scar and a wound for a lot longer than you should. And my prayer is that you start the process and don't unveil what the process is until the process is complete. And know that the blood of Jesus, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. So even those who had committed adultery in the middle of adultery, Christ still died for you. And there is still hope for you to come out, male on male, female on female. There's hope for you as well to come out, male on male, female on female. You're cheating against the word of God, and you are whoring against other gods. And, you know, the Almighty wants you to come out and be the best possible person that you can become.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you need help in this area, you're not in this alone. Get with somebody, a counselor who can talk with you. I recommend that you contact Bishop at truthministries30@gmail.com or visit his church service, church address 30 Kentucky Avenue, Wilmington, Ohio, 45711. Or you can shoot me an email, leewildthelletterj@gmail.com. Or JWill Music Production, LLC at gmail.com. If you like to donate, you may do so via the donate feature on the RSS homepage, or shoot me an email, and or either shoot Bishop Hamner email. You can sow into both of our ministries, and we greatly appreciate it. This broadcast has been sponsored by or brought to you by JWill Music Production, LLC. For all your production needs, give me a call, leewildthelletterj@gmail.com. Mr. Chris Crane and Charlie's Music Factory. And don't forget, if you got some gold that you need to get rid of, give my friends over at Gold and Coin Traders LLC a call over in Florence, Kentucky. Until the next time, may the Lord God bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. And may the Lord God give you peace. Bishop, don't go anywhere. We're getting ready to get out of here.